I pray today that you'd bless us as we go into this year to understand how to experience that peace, and then especially for this service today. Lord, I pray you'd help me through this. It's very important. It's a very important subject for us to look at. Give us the time to do it. Honor yourself through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 4. Now, I'm going to try to get all this in. I've got to get this in today, and I hope you'll bear with me. If we got started about 10 minutes early, we get out by 12. But I don't see how we can get out by 12. But by the way, Harders will be there at 12:10 too, amen. But what I want you to do is give me your undivided attention. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you looked at the news much in the last 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas, the media has began to move in the direction about Christmas and explain it away, saying that you and I really don't know what we're doing because Christmas is a pagan holiday rather than so-called the birth of Christ. And they'll give us all kinds of accusations about that. And they'll say that, you know, most Christians don't realize they're actually celebrating a day. They don't know if Christ was born on the 25th or not, and therefore they're celebrating a day that's really more pagan than it is Christian. Well, I'm going to show you this morning. They say we don't even have enough knowledge to go back and study how that particular day, 25th, started. To begin with, yes, we do. We have that. But the problem is this. They celebrate a holiday. We celebrate a holy day. And though they may be on the same day, I understand what I'm doing. They don't. And so this morning, I want to speak to you on the mystery, three mysteries of Christmas. But to do so, I got to go back and give you a history of Christmas. And I dare say that you've never heard this before. If you have, you've been very fortunate. But I'm going to give the introduction. It's going to be a long introduction. I'm going to go back and give you a history of Christmas. And understand, though, when you study before Christ came, even though many things has been adapted into Christmas in our day, it was not known as Christmas, as the word Christmas, before Christ came, because Christmas has to do with Christ's name. And I'll prove that to you. And before we read the scriptures, I want to go back and talk to you a little bit about how Christmas came to our particular day in history. To the world, they celebrate what is called a holiday. To the Christian, we celebrate what we call a holy day. To the world, they emphasize the emphasis of things. To you and I, we emphasize the birth of the Son of God. Now, there's a great difference in the definition of those two, though they try to make us look at that we're ignorant of the fact of that day and try to do so to prove that Christ did not really exist as we think of him, though he did exist as an individual. And that does away with the authority of God as being his son. But they're the ones that are deceived. The child of God is not deceived. You know why? Because this book is truth. And it tells us what's happening. No matter what day we celebrate the birth of Christ, this book tells us that Jesus Christ was actually born. But may I go back and show to you, when we think of the word Christmas, what does the word mean? It's coming from the words Christi, Messi, which has to do with the Mass of Christ. The Mass of Christ means the celebration of Jesus Christ. So when you and I use the word Christmas, we're saying the celebration of Jesus Christ. They don't even know that. That's one of the reasons why today this world thinks that they can get away from the word Christmas and name it a holiday, because when you name it a holiday, Christ is taken completely out. And when they say Christmas, they're putting Christ into something they don't want to have in. And so you're going to see more and more Christmas being removed and a holiday being replaced by, because they realize we have them over that word Christmas because it literally means the Mass of Christ or the celebration of Christ. And every time an infidel uses Christmas, they're saying the celebration of Christ, and they don't want to do that. So when I go back and study history of Christmas and realize that we know Christmas as today, the birth of Christ, and then why 25th of December? We'll look at some of that. First of all, may I remind in history, the history of Christmas dates back over 4,000 years per se as a Christian, not as a Christmas as Christians have, but as a pagan holiday. Over 4,000 years ago, there's things that's going on at Christmas now that went on a day which had to do with the solstice at that time around the first of every year in pagan worlds. Again, Christmas tradition was celebrated centuries before Christ's child was born, but it was not called that. It was called another name or something to do with celebration. Even the 12 days of Christmas, those 12 days, and so not as we see in Christmas, but 12 days was generated many years before Christmas came. The bright fires, the Yule log, the giving of gifts, the carnivals, the parades, the floats, the carols that are sung while going from house to house, the holiday feasts, the church processions can all be traced back to the early Mesopotamian age 4,000 years ago in history as what went on. But the thing about that is it's all pagan until Jesus Christ came. Many of those traditions began with the Mesopotamian celebration of New Year's. The Mesopotamians believed in many gods, and as their chief god, Marduk. Each year as the winter arrived, it was believed that Marduk would do battle with the monsters of chaos. To assist his struggle, the Mesopotamians held a festival for the new year. This was called Zakmuk, and this was a new year festival that lasted for 12 days. And we're talking about way before Jesus Christ came. The Mesopotamian king would return to the temple of Marduk and swear his allegiance to him, is faithless to this god. The tradition called for the king to die and at the end of the year and to return with Marduk to battle of his side. Well, to spare the king, because we know if the king died, he wasn't going to be raised again in those conditions. And so the Macedonians used the idea of a mock king. A criminal was chosen. I'd hate to have been that criminal, wouldn't you? He was chosen and dressed in royal clothes, and he was given all the respect and priorities of the real king. But at the end of the celebration, the mock king was stripped of his clothes and slain, sparing the real king's life, because that's what their religion taught. And then the Persians and the Babylonians celebrated a similar festival called the Sekeiah. It was part of the celebration, including the exchange of the places where the slaves would become the masters, and the masters would actually have to obey the slaves as their master under those circumstances. And the early Europeans believed in spirits, witches, and ghosts. And the solstice approached, and as it approached, the long cold nights and the short days, many people feared the sun was not going to return because they're so long in those places they lived at in darkness. And so they felt the sun would not return, special rituals and celebrations were held to welcome back the sun. And the Scandinavians, during their winter months, the sun would disappear for many days, and after 35 days, scouts would be sent out to the mountaintops to look to see if the sun was going to return. And when the first light was seen, the scouts would return back with the good news to the people, and a great festival would be held called the Yuletide. And a special feast would be served around in fire burning with Yule log, and great bonfires would also be lit to celebrate the return of the sun. And in some of the areas, there would be apple branches tied to a tree, setting forth, reminding them that spring is soon to come. In the ancient Greece, I'm just talking about the pagans of past, what they did on this period of time, somewhere around, a little before December 25th to the end of the year, as far as the first day of each year. These people knew that there was a difference in time, and they looked at the stars and other things, and so there's a lot of things they knew about how, as far as the earth and as far as seasons were concerned. And so then, after the ancient Greeks held a feast similar to this, it was called Zakmuk Sekeiah. It was festivals to assist their god Kronos, who would battle the god Zeus and Titans. The Romans celebrated their god Saturn. Their festival was called Saturnalia, which began this middle of December and ended January the 1st with cries to their god. The celebration would include masquerades in the streets, big festival meals, waiting on friends and visiting friends in the exchange of good luck gifts. The Romans also decked their halls out later with garlands of laurel and green trees lit with candles. Again, the master and the slaves would exchange their places. The Saturnalia was a fun and festival time for the Romans, but the Christians thought it an abomination to honor the pagan god, so the early Christians wanted to keep the birthday of Jesus Christ a solemn religious holiday, but not one of cheer or merriment, as was this pagan Saturnalia. But as the Christians spread in the first few centuries, they were alarmed by the continued celebrations of pagan customs. And so this particular day among their converts, at first the church forbid this kind of celebration, but it was no avail. Eventually it was decided that the celebration would be tamed instead of being out of place like the pagans, and it was made into the celebration fit for the Christian Son of God. And so they began to merge together with two different ideas completely. And then some legends claim that the Christian Christmas celebration was invented to compete with the pagan celebration of December. The 25th was not only a sacred to the Romans, but to the Persians, whose religion, Mithraism, was one of Christianity's main rivals at that time. The church eventually was successful in taking the merriments of lights and gifts from this festival and bringing them to the Christmas atmosphere. The exact day of Jesus Christ's birth has never been pinpointed. Traditions say it's been celebrated since the year 98 A.D. In 137 A.D., the Bishop of Rome ordered the birthday of Christ Jesus celebrated as a solemn feast. In 350 A.D., the Pope of Rome, Julius I, chose December the 25th as the observance of Christmas, and since that day, Christians have served and celebrated Jesus Christ's birthday since about 350 A.D. In the late 300s, Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire, and by the 1100s, Christmas had become the most important religious festival in Europe. A fellow by the name of St. Nicholas was a symbol giving gifts, and you won't get into that, how the day that one has come in his place called Santa Claus, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes too. And so here, during the 1400 and 1500, many artists painted scenes of the nativity scene. The birth of Christ, an example of these works, it appeared in the Jesus Christ articles that's printed in the version of the World Book Encyclopedias. And then the popularity of Christmas grew until the Reformation in the 1500s. The movement gave birth to the Protestantism during the Reformation, including non-religious customs. And during the 1600s, because of their feelings, Christianity was outlawed in England and in parts of the English colonies in America, and it was done so because the Christian leaders felt like it was too pagan. But that didn't last long. You know why? Christians have a tendency to lean more towards the world than to do God. And it wasn't long before they began to move back into the air and say, well, we do this for a different reason, and therefore the more Christians, as time came on, the old customs of feasting and decorating and such things appear and blended in with the movement of Christianity. But today, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me, today is no more than a commercialism to the world when it comes to Christmas. It's no more than, and the reason for that, you see this the past few weeks ago, China now has begun to celebrate Christmas because of the materialistic value. In fact, most of the things you buy at Christmas probably came from China. So here they began to celebrate Christmas. Christmas is a holiday rather than a holy day. And when the world uses the word Christmas, it is not a pagan day. They are even using the very name that was given to celebrate Christ. And you're going to see when they hear and begin to see this and understand this, they're going to move away from the word Christmas and use the word holiday. Now that brings me to the scriptures as we look with me, if you will, in Galatians chapter 4 and read what Paul says in verse 3, 4, 5, and 6 and 7. Paul said, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, how? Not been born just because you're born naturally from a human mother and dad. You have to be born again. But he says, now those who are talking, understanding the new birth, now you're sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son. Because you're a son, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no longer a servant, but a son. And a son who loves to serve, may I say. If you're a child of God, you want to serve him. Because you realize that he has done so much for you. If you can be used of him in any way possible, you want to be. But he said, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then are ye heirs of God through Christ. That means we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ to the things that God has promised you and I this side of eternity. Now, Christmas Day has been a national holiday in our country, in America, since 1870. And that's all it is today, a holiday as far as America is concerned. But it's a holy day as far as Christians are concerned. It's the day that's been set aside, pinpointed, as when Christ came into this world. They say, well, you can't really prove that. Well, I guess any day we'd use you can't prove. Well, that's a pagan holiday. I guess any day you'd use would be a pagan holiday. So why change it? We know what it is. We know what we're doing. We know why we're there. We understand it. We give God glory. Why let the world worry us about why we celebrate Christmas? You know why they want to get away from saying Merry Christmas? They want to say have a holiday. By the way, you're hearing it more and more. Have a happy holiday, a good holiday. Now, I want to talk about quickly two myths about Christmas. And here's where we're at. A group of children was asked three questions in a prominent place. What is the first thing that comes to your mind, number one? What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word Christmas? You know what they said? Unanimously. Presents! Presents! The second question was asked, in what place was the first Christmas celebrated? And a few of them did say Bethlehem. Most didn't know where Bethlehem was or what it was, other than something on television. And by the way, let me say to you, and don't you misunderstand me, Bethlehem was not the first place that Jesus Christ's birthday was celebrated. They didn't celebrate on this earth. It was in heaven. It was in the sky, over the sky of Bethlehem. It was the angels in heaven that the shepherds heard and said, hey, we need to go check this out. So even there, though Bethlehem is the place we look towards, and I'll come back to that in just a few minutes. And the third question was, who do you think of when I say Christmas? You know what they said? Santa Claus. Every last one of them said Santa Claus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in all three of these answers, they were incorrect. They were not correct, even though Bethlehem is where we look to the birth of Christ. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7, Paul points to the deeper meaning for the time of the year to be celebrated. He says, we are no longer slaves, but sons of God in Jesus Christ, verse 6 and 7. Since we are sons, God has made us heirs and joint heirs of Jesus Christ in his family. The reality of Christmas that Paul gives for this time is different than the three myths that these children mention. And when I say the children, because that's the next generation. And if the next generation don't know these answers to these questions, then you know their children are not going to have the answer to these questions. Because the world is not. When I was a boy, at least when terms were used in the world, they had no idea any more than what Christians were doing. But nowadays the world's got so educated, they know the history of pagans, though they don't know the history of pagans. And say, let's look at these three questions. First of all, what comes to your mind when you say Christmas? Today, the activities of Christmas should not be the giving presents, but receiving the Savior. Now listen to, I'm not a Scrooge. I love to get presents. You love to get presents. I love to give presents. And when you talk about that at Christmas time, doesn't mean that a person is a Scrooge and a tightwad. It simply means the Bible does not give us the information that is for us to give presents. It's God has given the greatest present ever given, His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The chief point of Paul is God has sent His Son. He said, trust Him. That's what it's all about. The Christian message is the turning point of history. I wonder when they're going to change that. B.C.A.D. You know why that's given that way? Because of the birth of Christ. Now, if you do away with the word Christmas and call it a holiday, sooner or later you're going to have to come up with some reason how to tell time in B.C. and A.D. Because that's the center point of history of man, and it's where Jesus Christ Himself came. Without these words, life offers no future for anybody. Without these words, mankind is lost without hope and without God. Paul said, God sent His Son. Now, from the human point of view, this happened when the time had fully come historically, it happened in verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. But the myth emphasizes giving. But the truth lies in one receiving God's gift. We do not give gifts to honor to others to honor Jesus because the wise men came and gave gifts to honor Jesus Christ. That's not the reason why we give gifts. I mean, listen, this church helps people all during the year. This church literally is involved in giving to the poor all during the year. We just don't do it at Christmas time, though we do make an emphasis at Christmas time. The truth here lies in God giving his son. That's what's so important. At Christmas time, we must take him as God's gift to humanity. And you do that by trusting Jesus Christ as one's personal Savior. Today, activities are the very reason why the pilgrims, these activities of today, are the very reason why the pilgrims banned Christmas observance years ago. Because they wanted people to understand the true meaning of Christmas laid in God's gift to man, not to commercialism given to each other. Now, sometimes you hear somebody say, well, I don't celebrate Christmas. Well, I don't mean to go that far, because if you don't celebrate Christmas, that means you're not celebrating the birth of Christ. But I do know this, I'm not very much against someone who says I want to cut down on what I do at Christmas other than honor God. And a person is free to do what they want to do at that time. But I'm telling you, we have began to move and migrate away from what really Christmas means, because many have been migrated away from what God is doing in our particular day. And so they preached that it was their responsibility to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. What comes to mind when you say Christmas? It ought to be God sent his Son. That which was an eternity plan, God is bringing about in time so that you and I might have eternal life in him. Then what about the second thing? The beginning of Christmas is not Bethlehem, but eternity. And I say this, and we'll come back to what Bethlehem is in a few minutes. Both Paul and John both do not even mention Bethlehem. Go find it in their writings anywhere. Paul said, but when the time is fully come, God sent his son. But he didn't say in Bethlehem. He believed that, but he didn't say it. You know, I wonder if God didn't see what's happened in days of the future. I know he did. In the future. And so he was careful to use choice words that did not become misunderstood. In John 1, in verse 1 through 3, he did say, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was God, and Word was with God. You remember that? And in verse 14, he said, the Word became flesh. You know when that happened? At Christmas. You know when we celebrate that? December the 25th. I'm not ashamed of that. And by the way, I'll keep celebrating until God takes me home. And they can say I'm dumb all they want to. But I know who the dumb person is. And you're not looking at him. Now, I'm a dumb about a lot of things. You're a lot smarter than I am in a lot of things. But I'm not dumb about Christmas. I'm biblical oriented, directed into the direction that God gives when it comes to Christmas. I enjoy it. I enjoy the family. I enjoy the celebration. I enjoy giving gifts out of love, because it's not commercialism, even though we're caught up in it. It's doing something from the heart. And you understand what I'm saying there. We have absolutely no way of knowing the exact day that Jesus Christ was born, yet he was born. Amen. See? See? You say, well, that bothers me. Someone said, hey, all you got to say to yourself and ask God to help you, he was born. Well, he wasn't born December 20th. He was born. Well, he had to be. He was born. Why? The Bible tells us in the fullness of time, God sent his son. We're in time. He's not talking about, even though in God's mind in eternity past, we're in time now. He's talking to us. We who are in time. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. You can believe that. You can mark it down. The festival of the Nativity was instituted by Rome by Bishop Liberius in 354 A.D. This was involved into what was called Christmas today. And then I already told you Pope Julius I agreed on the date of be December the 25th in about 350 A.D. The Russian and Greek Orthodox churches celebrate the same event 12 days after 25th on January the 6th. Did you know that? Somebody said, well, some people celebrate Christmas on the January the 6th, yeah, they do that because that's their belief in their religious organization. Romans were known to celebrate Christmas honoring Roman gods. It's also a pagan holiday influenced by celebration that relates to the winter solstice, which is the shortest day of the year. And that's where Christmas is at. The winter solstice generally falls somewhere close to 25th of December, either before or after, but it's in a bracket there. So when the final day was set, it was set by Pope Julius I as being December the 25th. Today, Christmas becomes has become an American holiday. And I believe that. It's more like, you know, we think of baseball or maybe Thanksgiving or the 4th of July. It's a holiday rather than a holy day. Americans has made Christmas extremely commercial due to our capitalist society. We may show respect to Jesus' birthday on December 25th, but eternity is the timing of Christ because it was planned before the foundations of the world. And then the third thing, the center of Christmas is not Santa Claus, but the Savior to the Christian. John got it right in John 1, 9 through 13 when he wrote that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We have been redeemed and we've been adopted into the family of God. Redemption means to buy out of slavery. Christ paid the price of our redemption. And he set us free to be adopted as children of God. And why is the adopting process necessary? Because it made us a full pledge inheritance the day we got saved. We're born into the family of God, but we're adopted to get full pledge. See, a child that's born into a family doesn't get his inheritance to a 20-year-old or to a certain age. He gets grown. But you and I who get saved, by adoption, God has set us there to get the inheritance because we're heirs of Christ and join heirs with him to God. So we move from bondage into freedom to become heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. Romans 8 tells us that. This takes place through Jesus Christ. Hear me. This birth takes place through Jesus Christ, not Santa Claus. Now, I'll get some letters on this. I don't care. Because I want to tell you, folks, anytime you emphasize something over God and celebrating God other than God, it's wrong. This takes place through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ existed from eternity. If you look in Philippians with me, here's what God said about him through Paul. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, took on him the servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, unto the death of the cross. Why? Wherefore? I like this. Why did these verse 5 through 8 of Philippians 2 is given? Wherefore God says in verse 9, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That includes Santa Claus. That is the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 said, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Yes, he was born. He was born of the Virgin Mary. We know that. This also makes him human. Let me tell you, no man was required for his birth. No man was required. God did it himself. Now, Joseph came to stepdad. No man was required. He was born a Jew. He says here in Galatians, he was born under the law. Dr. Luke gives us the account of his birth. If you look in Luke 1, chapter 1 and 2. Again, God himself was Jesus' father. The fullness of God, the Father acts. In the fullness of God, he acts. How did he act? He sent his Son, and he sent the Holy Spirit. He sent his Son to die. His Son was born, and he gave us the Holy Spirit when we trusted Christ as Savior. The Spirit is the gift of God to all who believe because they are sons and daughters of God. We can pray to God the Father just like Jesus Christ did. Do you know that, ladies? That's an awesome thought. When Jesus told the example to pray in Matthew 6, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, etc. You and I can pray to God the Father just like he did. You know why? He made us his brethren. He made us part of the family. And it started when Jesus Christ was actually born. Matthew 6, verse 9, our Father which are in heaven. So the myth of Christmas is about presents. When you think about Bethlehem, it's the wrong thought today in people's mind. Instead of theatrical scenes in Bethlehem, there's a theatrical scenes in Bethlehem at Christmas time. All the pomp and all the playing that goes on, when I say like a drama. You go and you got the men in their suits and thing or dress garments, and they go through, they say they're celebrating the birth of Christ. Well, why don't somebody just stop one day when all the media's on them showing that and preach a hellfire brimstone message about Jesus Christ? Because I'll tell you, he was born to save sin, people from their sin. He was not born for theatrical drama. He was born that you and I might know what it is to be a child of God. Do you think anybody in this world is moved towards God because they see a theatrical show every year, every year, every year? No. It becomes no more than just something to do at Christmas time. It'd be much better, and this may come from a little fella in Johnson County, but I'll tell you, it'd be much better if one day someone would stop and say, here is somebody who's going to preach about Jesus Christ being born. Not look at the theatricals of it, but hear the message that God has given his word about who Jesus is. Again, the myth of Christmas is about presents and Santa Claus in people's minds. But the truth is that we receive what God has given to us in his Son. Isn't it an amazing thing, ladies and gentlemen, that the world will go show everything that takes place in drama and have no means whatsoever about showing it? And we're not even there. You can give a man who preached a message about Christmas and who Jesus Christ really is, they wouldn't give him time of day. Must something be wrong, hasn't it? There's got to be something wrong. We love theater. We like, we like that which entertains us. I've heard people talk, they love Harry Potter. I never read his book, don't plan to, or her book, who wrote it. I've never seen but excerpts of it, but what excerpts I've seen advertised, I don't have no desire to see it. Amen. You say, preacher, that's the reason you're off. Let me stay off then, amen. You say, well, preacher, that has a story behind it, just fiction. I know it. They're telling me this is fiction, but it's not, and that's the reason I stay in it all the time. And ask God to give me understanding of it and give me the power maybe to make others see that what God is doing is important. But the truth is that we receive what God has given to us, and it's his Son. God's gift was his Son from eternity. But it was revealed in Bethlehem when he was born. But he was not celebrated, except the angels in heaven celebrated him. And even after he was born, you didn't hear anything from him until 2 years later, when the wise men came looking for him. And they did bring some gifts. But you know something? Some people say, well, you see, we want to give gifts. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. You give all the gifts you want to because you love someone. If you're going to give a gift in things, Lord, give your heart to it. If you're going to do anything for the Lord, give your heart to it. But notice something. These men did not give these gifts to Joseph or Mary or anyone else that was there. Who did they give them to? Jesus Christ. And they honored him as a king. But on the other hand, when you look at us giving gifts in this life, we give it because we love each other. I don't give gifts to people I give them for love because they give gifts. They gave a gift to Christ like he wants me to give. What can I give? That service, what can I give? What can I give him? The only thing I have that he wants is my heart. He tells me in the scriptures, give me thy heart. And he tells us what he'll do for that. God's gift was his Son from eternity. He revealed it in Bethlehem. He sure did that when he was born. And I pray the prayer, God, help us as people to forget about the myth of Christmas and give their heart to Jesus Christ and then enjoy the real Christmas. And I say until someone else changes it, let it be December the 25th. Because you know what you're doing. You're honoring God. You're honoring him in a way when you get in your own home, the hustle and bustle of this world, and you may have to dabble in it some, but you're honoring God. And when you honor Jesus Christ, you honor God, and when we serve Him and do our best to serve Him, He is very pleased. May we as Christians remind this world what Christmas really is about. And the next time someone said something to you, well, you celebrating a pagan holiday because you celebrate Christmas. Did you not know that's pagan? And you can say, no, it's not. The very name itself means Mass of Christ or the celebration of Jesus Christ. Now, if you use the name of Christmas, which has the name of Christ inserted in it, you're referring to something you knew nothing about unless you celebrate it like God wants it celebrated. Don't come telling me I'm celebrating it wrong because I call it Christmas and you just don't know the history. It's a pagan holiday. Not to me, it's not. It's a holy day. And it shouldn't be to you. Do not be embarrassed if someone began to say, you ought to have another day then if you're going to celebrate Christmas. No. Because any day we had, time has elapsed long enough, there'd be somebody to find something wrong with the day. So I'm going to stick where it's at to someone higher than I changes it. And then when I do, when it does, I'll be there. But right now, I can say, hey, you may call it anything you want to, but I call it celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, exalting Him. If you don't know Him as Savior, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Someone listen to radio and also by website. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, God loved this world enough to send His Son, knowing what would happen to it. And 33 and a half years later, that little babe in the manger became a man. Since I read an article recently, the historical said, toward history, that man's average age in Christ's day only was 31 years old. Now, some live longer, but the average overall age, they said the average age of women is about 26, 70-year-old. And the reason for that, childbirth. Women had children about every other year, if not every year, and childbirth was a deadly thing in those days because a lot of things happened. We didn't have the science we have today. And a lot of women died at childbirth, and children themselves died, many of them, early at age. So when you put it all together, they average about 31 years old. So Jesus lived to 2.5 years more than the average person did as a young man. But He came and He died that we might have life. It took the birth before there could be Calvary. He came from the span of time, in time, from the mother's womb where we came from, and endured and was related to everything we face from the time of conception all the way to the time that He died on Calvary and was buried and rose again the third day to give us that assurance that from the time of conception to the time that God takes us home who have trusted Christ as Savior, we are looking for the resurrection too. You know why? Because He was born, it all started. I'm glad I have a message to give to this world that's real if a person will listen to the truth. My Father, I thank You again for the day. Please bless what's been said. And may this message be that which would help a lot of folks in our day who really is trying to see all that God's doing. And when the world throws these things at them because we feel they have so much more knowledge than we do, and because of that, they make us feel like we don't know what we're talking about. But Lord, You gave us an edge. Great is He that's in us and in the world. And though the world may laugh at the information You give us, we have a record here that's more true than anything man's ever written, and it's God's holy word. And dear Father, what we read about Jesus Christ in this book, we know so. And since Jesus was born, there had to be a day. And since Christmas is the day we look at, we celebrate it as the birth of Christ because it is literally exalting Him, celebrating His birthday. And dear Father, we'll do that until You call us home because there was a day that Jesus was born. Thank You for that. I'm glad the world can't take that away, no matter what they may say or do. I'm glad I know it's for sure. And because I know He was born, I know He did live, He did die. And since He lived and He died, I know also that He rose again the third day by faith. Lord, people say, well, You want there to see it. Well, they want there to see what they're saying about the pagan holiday either. Everything they know about what happened at this period of time, from December 24th, 5th to January 6th, every one of us were not there. None one of us. They had to read it somewhere or another. But what we read about what God's done, we weren't there either, but we are now. And dear Father, we have the Spirit of God crying Abba in our heart, manifesting these reality, the reality of these truths. And I thank you for that. Bless us this year, Lord, this group of people here today. I pray you'd bless them financially. I pray you'd bless them, Lord, economically. I pray that every way possible that we'd be blessed this year. But at the same time, please don't let us forget the reason we're here is because there's a work to be done. You give us all a talent. And you told us that we can use that talent. It may not be all the same amount of talents, but Lord, we can use that talent. And you don't tell us we got one talent to make 20, no. But you did tell us in your word that if you had five, you can double it. If you have one, you can double it. I may have one, can't make but two, can't make 10, but the one who had five can make 10. And all of that is in control for the fact of using our talent for your glory, because whatever it is, it means to an end to bring glory and honor to you and to help promote your kingdom until we draw our last breath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.